Hello, this is Ian Berg with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article City Reviews Bid to Raise BRESSI by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Danville City Council members learned Tuesday night officials have received a quote to tear down BRESSI Tower and also the former Vermilion County Courthouse Annex at the northwest corner of Main and Vermilion Streets. Danville Public Works Director Carl Carpenter said he will review the quote paperwork and forward information to aldermen as early as today. The city and county are expected to work together on the demolition. About 8 years ago, preliminary cost estimates were around $2.5 million to demolish the 1918 12-story Bressey Tower at 4 North Vermilion Street. In other business, David S. Palmer Arena General Manager Joe Dunnigan also introduced himself to the alderman. Dunnigan said he's excited about overseeing the arena and that some changes and upgrades already are occurring. He said there is the possibility of a rodeo coming to the arena in May. We have some other things in the works, Dunnigan said. Ward 5 Alderman Mike Puir said the city's glad to have you back in the community. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said, "We look forward to the good things you're going to do at the arena." Williams also told the council he was not yet ready to name members of a city rental housing committee. He said he has to figure out one or two more members and will likely announce the committee at the February 4th city council meeting. Also Tuesday, council members approved a home rule tax amendment, partly for capital equipment, and the city's new $50 million 2020-2021 fiscal year budget that starts on May 1st. Ward 7 Alderman Steve Foster complimented Williams and the other city officials for this being the smoothest budget process. Foster credits everyone working together from the beginning. Williams said he believes the budget, which doesn't raise fees or taxes, is one of which citizens can be proud. The council also approved the donation of parcels to Carle Health Development LLC for the new medical campus project. Vacant lot parcels to be given to Carle are 110 Robinson, 509 Lafayette, 139 North Logan, 606 West Harrison, 516 West Harrison, 601 West Harrison, 607 West Harrison, 615 West Harrison, 602 West Madison, 512 West Madison, 108 North Logan, 110 North Logan, 126 North Logan, 205 New York, and another parcel on Harrison Street without a specific address. Also, the council approved the borrowing of about $9.3 million from the Water Pollution Control Loan Program through the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency for the Northwest Sanitary Sewer Project. There's the possibility for partial loan forgiveness. The council also authorized an agreement with Norfolk Southern Railway Company and the state of Illinois for a railway highway gate crossing improvements on Voorhees Street and Bowman Avenue. They also approved the purchase of 1231 North Jackson Street for $25,000 from Sage View LLC of Denver, Colorado, for property at the southeast corner of Jackson and Voorhees Street to align the intersection for a continued four-way stop. And finally, the council rejected a bid for the Ellsworth Park restroom and concession building due to it exceeding funding. Now we'll go to the article, also on the front page, City Man Shoots, Kills Intruder, A staff report. Danville. Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden has identified the victim of a Sunday evening shooting on North Franklin Street in Danville. The victim is 29-year-old Jordan M. Valdez Parrish of Danville. According to the Danville Police Department, at 8:33 p.m. Sunday, police responded to a residence at the 1000 block of Franklin Street for a report of a home invasion in progress with shots fired. Officers met with a 31-year-old Danville man who said several subjects armed with handguns and wearing ski masks had kicked in his door and attempted to rob him. During the home invasion, the homeowner armed himself with a handgun and fired multiple shots at the intruders. Officers located one of the suspects lying just outside the residence and found him to be injured from multiple gunshot wounds. The suspect was later identified as 29-year-old Jordan Valdez Parrish of Danville. Valdez Parrish was administered medical aid at the scene and transported to an area hospital where he died from his wounds. A ski mask and handgun were recovered at the scene near where Parrish was located. The homeowner stated he observed at least one other intruder who entered the front door but then fled the scene when the shots were fired. That suspect who fled the residence has not yet been identified. No arrests had been made Tuesday afternoon. No other injuries were reported. The investigation into this incident continues. Anyone who has information regarding this incident is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. McFadden stated that Parrish's family has been notified. An autopsy is to be conducted. And next we'll go to the article, Lots of Dough. Dunkin' Donuts to open around first week of March, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. A different franchisee, different location, and focusing on all-day breakfast sandwich menu rather than morning only, have brother and sister partners hopeful for a Dunkin' Donuts in Danville. Owners of the former five-star family restaurant at 3216 North Vermilion Street announced last summer that they sold the property to a Dunkin' Donuts franchisee. Five Star opened in 2006 on North Vermilion Street in the former Bob Evans restaurant. The owners of the new Dunkin' Donuts in Danville are Krishna Patel of Plainfield, Illinois, and her brother, Rashmi Sim Patel. Krishna said they have about 20 Dunkin' locations, with 6 in the Chicago suburbs, 8 in central Illinois, including Champaign, Rantoul, and Decatur, and 6 in Iowa. Krishna said they are excited about the location and market and hope this Dunkin' Donuts will be successful here. Construction continues on the almost 2,200 square foot store, with equipment and inside renovations being completed. She said training of the approximately 20 to 25 employees should be completed the week of February 24th, with the opening following around March 2nd. Krishna said they purchased the entire property, but it was too big. We did split it up. They are looking for another tenant at the location for the remaining approximately 13,000 square foot space. Dunkin' will be open from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week. It will have a drive-thru and also tables and chairs inside to sit down. There's a lot of sitting space, Krishna said, adding that will appeal to people who like to go somewhere to eat and drink. Krishna said they weren't involved with the Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin-Robbins that closed more than 10 years ago in Danville on South Gilbert Street. It was open about 4 years, from 2006 to 2010. We always have been trying to find a location in Danville, she said. We think it's a great location, and we are hoping to do good in that town. The town has changed. She said the market and demographics to support the restaurant. Krishna and said Dunkin' is known for its donuts, of course, but also its espresso lattes are popular. We do have a line of new breakfast sandwiches, she said, about having a whole day menu. She also said Danville's Dunkin' Donuts will be a next-generation store, which it's more modern grays and whites and different decor. It's going to be a more modern image, Krishna said. She said they're just excited to be in Danville. In other economic development news, Vermilion Advantage President and CEO Vicky Haugen said some other business expansions that occurred last year included second facilities for Envirox on Voorhees Street and Strapac in Eastgate. Paxton Packing also has expanded into Danville for its jerky and other products and services. Economic development ideas also will be looked at surrounding the Carl at the Riverfront project, such as along Gilbert Street and also along Lynch Road, after approval of the casino license, Haugen said. The city and Danville Sanitary District's officials continue discussions on who will pay for what on alleviating the sanitary sewer capacity issues north of the interstate along Lynch that prevented the casino from locating on that side. Last year, Haugen said it could cost about $1.2 million to address the sanitary sewer capacity issue on the north side of the interstate to Main Street. Other areas that continue to be looked at for development include the former Arnholt Bakery area along West Fairchild Street, the Fairchild and Vermilion intersection, Bowman Avenue and Voorhees Street in Heavenly Square, and other locations along North Vermilion Street, including at Thornhill Drive. Developer Jim Wood said he sold one piece of property in the Heavenly Square area. I'm not authorized to say what it is, he said. Wood also said an original tenant backed out of a proposed retail strip center at the southwest corner of Thornhill and Vermilion. He's working with another possible tenant. We'll now go to the death notices. Shirley Ann Dean, 80, passed away on January 19th. Services will be at 2 p.m. Eastern on Friday, January 24th, at Brown Butts Diedring Funeral Service and Cremation Center in St. Anderson, Indiana. Burial will be in Anderson Memorial Park Cemetery. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Thursday at the funeral home. Alma E. Richard, born December 26, 1920, passed away on January 16th at the age of 99. A homegoing celebration will commence at noon on Friday, January 24th at New Life Church of Faith in Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. until time of service. A public viewing will be from 1 to 4 p.m. on Thursday, January 23rd at Leek and Sons Funeral Home in Danville. Interment will be at Danville National Cemetery. Philip Fuller, 74, of Danville, passed away on Sunday, January 19th. Visitation will be from 9 to 11:30 a.m. on Friday, January 24th at Kruger Cone-Pape Funeral Home in Danville. Service will follow at 11:30 a.m. on Friday at the funeral home. Burial to follow at Danville National Cemetery with military honors by American Legion Post 210. Judith Judy K. Carpenter passed away at 7:50 a.m. on Monday, January 21st. Lola Kling, 84, of Champaign and formerly of Danville, passed away on January 16th. A celebration of life service will be at 2 p.m. on Monday, January 27th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. prior to the service. Burial will take place at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Memorial contributions may be made in Lola's name to the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club in Champaign. Sally A. Johnson, 102, formerly of Westville and Danville, passed away on January 18th. Graveside rites will be at 2 p.m. on Wednesday at the Lithuanian National Cemetery in Westville. Philip Phil Dean Leash, 84, of Danville, passed away on January 19th. A graveside service will be at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, January 22nd, at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given in Philip's name to the Celebrate Recovery Program at Second Church of Christ in Danville. Gary C. Lamar, 75, of Georgetown, passed away on January 20th. A celebration of Gary's life will be at 11 a.m. on Friday, January 24th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will take place at Sunset Memorial Park. Memorials may be made in his name to American Diabetes Association or Wreaths Across America. Terry Jean Vaughn, Nee Gailey, of Danville, 66, passed away on January 18th. A memorial visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. on Thursday, January 23rd, at Kruger Cone Pave Funeral Home in Danville. James Ernest Snoddy, 87, passed away on January 19th. Visitation for Jim Snoddy will be at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, January 22nd at Shelby Funeral Home in Covington, Indiana, with a private family graveside service later. In lieu of flowers, the family requests you consider a charitable gift to Howard County Meals on Wheels or Fort Wayne Civic Theater. Now we'll go back to the front page for the article, DACC to Move Forward with Library Renovation, by Carol Rome, Danville. The Danville Area Community College Board of Trustees on Thursday will take the next steps to begin the renovation of the Dr. Alice Marie Jacobs Hall and Carnegie Library. The board will be asked to authorize Walton and Associates Architects of Springfield to develop detailed construction drawings to provide a vanilla workspace design for the renovation of the Dr. Alice Marie Jacobs Hall and Carnegie Library. The total cost of the project is estimated at $2.01 million. In 2016, the Veterans Affairs Illiana Healthcare System swapped the Carnegie Library for DACC property where a gazebo sits. Walton and Associates recently developed an updated cost estimate and schematic design drawings of both floors of the Carnegie Library. A gift of $2 million is promised through the Julius W. Hegler II Foundation that will pay for the renovation work. "We will have buildable plans in about 2 months," DACC President Stephen Nocco said. Renovation work could begin as soon as April, after a contractor is hired. "We're going to make it functional, but not make any dramatic changes," he said. "It's a beautiful building. The gallery on the main floor, with the four columns, is like an art museum," Nocco said. "The basement will have art classes. It will be a studio down there. It will be a flexible space. We're going to restore the beauty of the building," he said. "This will honor Dr. Jacobs, who loves the arts. She continues to be a patron of the arts, and this is a fitting tribute to her 17 years of exemplary service." The renovations also will include adding an interior staircase between the levels and a pocket elevator on the exterior of the Carnegie Library so that the building is ADA compliant. Nako said he expects the building to be in use by the fall semester. Also Thursday, the trustees will hear a report from Human Resources. DACC HR Director Jill Cranmore is expected to present a 5-year master plan of personnel needs and professional development for 16 departments on campus, Nako said. They will hear a financial update. They will hear the president's report. They will also consider adopting a resolution to transfer monies to the Education Fund and the Operations and Maintenance Fund from the Working Cash Fund. The resolution authorized funds need to be transferred as needed to meet the payment due dates for expenditures incurred in these funds when the revenue is not received in time to meet the cash outflow requirements. The transaction is considered an internal loan and must be repaid to the Working Cash Fund within 1 calendar year, since the intent is not to abolish the balance in the fund. The majority of the funds used to pay the loan will be from tax revenue and student tuition, with no reliance on state funding. The timing of this resolution avoids having a negative cash balance at the end of the fiscal year on June 30th. The resolution is requested annually and meets the requirements of Illinois Community College Board and the college auditors. They will also learn about the student trustee election calendar. Nako said DACC students have the opportunity to build their resume if they become a student trustee. They become part of the leadership of the college, he said. Nominating petitions are available from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, starting Monday, February 24th, until Friday, March 20th, from the Secretary to the Board of Trustees, Carrie Thurman, in room 202 of Vermilion Hall. The first day students can start to file petitions is 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Monday, March 16th. On the last day of filing, candidates must submit their petition to Thurman no later than 4 p.m. Friday, March 20th, in room 202 of Vermilion Hall, if they want to be placed on the ballot. A canvass of the election results and an announcement of the winner will be held immediately after the polls close on April 8th. The new student trustee, who will serve a full term from April 15, 2020 to April 14, 2021, will be seated on Thursday, April 23rd, during a regular Board of Trustees meeting. And now for some news in sports, we'll go to the article, Motivated to Win, Buffaloes Avenge Loss, Reach Title Game, by Chad Dare, Danville. No player on the Georgetown Ridge Farm boys basketball team was born the last time the Buffaloes claimed the Vermilion County Championship, in 1988. As a matter of fact, sophomores Caden Mingy and Kale Steinbow, who each had 15 points in their win over the Oakwood Comets on Tuesday night at the Palmer Arena, were just in the second grade the last time that the Buffaloes even played for the title in 2012. But with upset wins over Salt Fork on Saturday and over Oakwood on Tuesday night, Georgetown Ridge Farm has secured the Pool B title and a spot in Saturday's championship game. Not bad for a team that came into the tournament seeded fifth behind the second-seeded Comets and third-seeded Storm. We knew when the seeding came out that we were going to be the underdogs, said Mingy, who had 6 points and 2 steals in the first quarter for the Buffaloes. That's what gave us the power to fight through these first 2 games. It was definitely motivation. The Buffaloes, who improved 12-9, were in position for a top-3 seed until a 73-65 loss at home in triple overtime against the Oakwood Comets. We wanted to play them again, Mingy added. Georgetown Ridge Farm coach Rob Lorenzen admitted the number 5 seed was good chalkboard material. We thought we should have been seeded higher, he added. We lost to Oakwood, but we beat Salt Fork, So we didn't know where we would be ranked. This was more of a revenge game. And that showed in the game's first 8 minutes. Georgetown Ridge Farm built a 14-8 lead, thanks in large part to an aggressive man-to-man defense that forced Oakwood into 8 turnovers. "We wanted to pressure them a lot," Mingi said. "We practiced defense a lot, but coming into the tournament, we put an extra emphasis on it. We wanted to play with quick feet and keep pressure on our opponents." In their 2 tournament victories, the Buffaloes have held their opponents to a 25.3% shooting, while also forcing them into 27 turnovers. "Usually our offense speaks for itself," Lorenzen said, "so it's nice to play good man-to-man defense as well." The combination of turnovers and poor shooting was just too much for the Comets to overcome. "Turnovers, at times, has been a problem for us, and we didn't shoot it very well," Oakwood coach Jeff Mandrill said. "Georgetown played well, and I want to give them credit for that." The Comets pulled within 31-29 late in the third quarter, as sophomore Josh Young scored all 12 of his points after halftime. But instead of going back to its inside attack, Oakwood was 1 of 6 from three-point range in the fourth quarter, and the Comets made just 2 of 17 behind the arc after the first quarter. "I think we didn't always take good shots," Mandrill said. "I think that gets back to missing shots, and then you start to force it down a little bit." Georgetown Ridge Farm, which has already clinched a spot in Saturday's championship game, still has a 5 p.m. game on Thursday with Armstrong Potomac, who is 0-2 in the tournament. "We want to keep doing what we've done this week," said Mingi. "We have come together and we are having a lot more fun." The Buffaloes, who have only played for the county title twice in the last decade, have also accomplished this without sophomore Jace Bina, who suffered a compound fracture on his right index finger last week. "It's the next guy up," Lorenzen said. "I'm sure we stole that from another sports team, but our kids are playing hard." Oakwood will play Salt Fork at 8 p.m. on Thursday, with the winner advancing to the third-place game on Saturday and the loser being relegated to the fifth-place game. Finally, we'll go to the article, "To Rob City Taxi Driver at Gunpoint," a staff report. Danville. City police are investigating an armed robbery that occurred Thursday night. Officers responded around 10:41 p.m. Thursday to the area of the 200 block of Victory Street after a report of an armed robbery that had just occurred, according to Police Commander Joshua Webb. A taxi driver told officers he was robbed at gunpoint by 2 male subjects who appeared to be teenagers. The driver said he picked up the subjects at the area of the 800 block of Harrison Street, then drove them to the area of the 200 block of Victory, where one of the subjects pointed a handgun at him and the other displayed a knife. The driver was forced out of his vehicle and robbed of his personal items. The suspects then left the scene by stealing the vehicle and driving north on Griffin Street. Around 2:30 a.m. on Friday, police located the stolen vehicle abandoned in the area of the unit block of Beard Street. No injuries were reported. Police continue to investigate this incident, as well as a similar incident from January 8th, where a Pizza Hut delivery driver also was robbed in the same area. It is unknown whether these incidents are related. Anyone with information regarding these incidents is asked to call the Danville Police or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers. That's all the time we have for today. This has been Ian Berg with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. Thanks for joining.